Hello and welcome to the Red Leaf Card, your home for Canadian soccer news and views. My name is Jacob. And today we're going to be talking about Sebastian Giovinco being opt out from the Toronto FC's roster for practice. And we're going to be discussing about this with Jason Whistle from the podcast. That's not bad.
Hey, Jacob, how are you doing today?
Actually, great to discuss about this. That lots of Toronto FC fans always questioning about this. That hearing about Sebastian Giovinco being opt out for Toronto FC. Some fans always say about that Sebastian Giovinco should have been for the roster, or should have been signed, or saying, having this opinion, it's the time to just leave him alone.
If I'm being honest, and you know, this is going to sound pretty blunt in my opinion, but I'm going to say it anyways because you know that's what we do on a podcast. We put these opinions out there, but I'm going to be very, very honest in that I don't think bringing Giovinco back to TFC this year midstream was the solution to anything. I do appreciate the idea of bringing Giovinco back home. I do. I get it. And they even said, like, if we were just looking for like a feel good moment, we wanted to make it the right time. And I think if they did that this year, this is not the year to be bringing Giovinco back, even if it is just for, you know, a victory lap for his career. This season for TFC it's in the crapper. There's no other way to put it. Like, this is not a good season. And I think if you brought Giovinco back at this point, it would have felt almost like a gimmick, like a way to sell tickets. And that's not good, right? If Sebastian Giovinco is in your plans for somewhere down the road, do it properly. And it's not like he can't play anymore. Like, you take a look at his stats with Al Hilal from 2018 all the way to 2021, you know, 57 games, 12 goals. Like, the guy can still play soccer. And, you know, you had reports that other teams were interested in bringing him back to MLS. Obviously, LA was taking a look at bringing back the Galaxy. There was reports at one point that Columbus may have been trying to bring him back in. He's still a viable commodity when it comes to MLS for the level of players that are there. And I think that veteran leadership on the field, especially with TFC, would be a good fit. But I think, you know, you've got a new coach coming in, you're gonna have to retool the roster for what you have, because let's be honest, what you have right now isn't winning anything at all. And it would feel almost gimmicky, I think, to bring him back in. But I wonder, though, from a fan perspective, the fact that they were even considering at this point, does it feel, you know, I mean, you're a fan, you are a TFC fan. Do you feel let down that they didn't bring him in?
Well, to be honest, of all the things that we've seen about how he played with Toronto FC, he brought in so much the wow factor of this guy is actually good at getting goals from the free kicks. And right now you don't have Sebastian Giovinco. You bring in these new players, and right now they're not actually doing well in free kicks to gain goals from those. And some people are always saying, why you still have Sebastian Giovinco in one of your practices for it? So if it's just this to from the fans' perspective of questioning, are you going to sign Javinko or not at this point? So fans are right now asking this right now. We want Javinko, but to be honest, in a fair opinion about this, I think it's right now to leave it, just leave him at this point, because right now there's no reason to have him at their practice facilities if you're not going to sign him.
I wouldn't be surprised if having Giovinco still with the franchise allows them to be able to utilize his soccer knowledge in order to be able to impart that wisdom to the current team. He wouldn't be the first player to become a coach, or even an assistant coach. I mean, even in MLS and even in Canadian MLS, of course, you had Thierry Henry coaching the Montreal Impact for a while. Like, having a player able to guide the new crop, that's key. Having someone with a history with the franchise too, right? I fully support TFC trying to keep Giovinco in the fold. That's a no-brainer. We're talking about someone who legitimately was, and in some cases historically still is, the face of the franchise, and that's A, it's good fan relations, it's good public relations, B, it's good for the history of the franchise, and C, the man has soccer smarts. There's no question. And that resource should be tapped, because you're going to have to overhaul this team, and every with all hands on deck, you need to be able to put something on the field that's going to be better than this year. And you see some franchises, and they go into this rebuild mode, and this goes across all sports. If you stay in rebuild mode for too long, you switch from retooling, restocking, and rebuilding to all of a sudden becoming that franchise that no one is buying tickets for when you're on the road. Your home audience is starting to dwindle away, and you lose the moment. TFC, for the longest time, they were top of the table. They were always a threat to go far into the playoffs. And this, of course, is during Giovinco time. Now you're, and this is really ever since the pandemic kind of put a halt on things, TFC have found themselves truly seemingly on the outside looking in and not really in the threat conversation for making any kind of noise. Giovinco, I think, and then this is all without Giovinco in the fold, right? If he can light the spark, if he can ignite the fire, then I think his presence, whether it be on the pitch or on the sidelines, is a win for the team. But I don't think this transitional year, with John Herdman coming in next year, right now currently looking on the sidelines and trying to get the lay of the land, I think you need to bide your time and do this properly. Because if Giovinco is not up to the speed of the team that they're going to field next year, then bringing him into the team is not going to be the right call. But if he's going to become part of the developmental team on the sidelines, working with TFC2, working behind the scenes with the players at the major level, then that's perfectly fine too, and let's get him in the fold. This year is lost don't try to shoehorn this in. Make Giovinco's return, proper return, mean something.
Yeah, personally agree with all these things, and we've seen also, for example, from his previous team that he's played for, he played in Serie A, and right now he's basically a free agent, and he's right now stuck in the middle of who's gonna actually have an offer right where he where is basically would suit him.
Yeah, I mean, yes, getting a couple of games in with Sampdoria in the Serie A is it's good. It's not a bad thing. This was just a an emergency fill-in signing for Sampdoria, and still at a proper competition level. You're not expecting someone to come in and dominate, in a situation like that. He's there to fill the gap and do his job and contribute to the system and know his role at that point, right? He's not brought in to be the savior. He's brought in to be a band-aid. Right now, TFC needs more than a band-aid. TFC is in triage mode, and maybe this, you can put the band-aid on, but it's not healing the wound by itself. Giovinco will be a band-aid this year. He could be the salve that helps things next year. So, do it right. And the other thing too is, you see some teams bring back players well past their prime. And as much as you want to see them stay in the fold, it's sometimes you have to make, for lack of a better term, ruthless choices. For the betterment of the current team, a lot needs to be seen from Giovinco, before you even think about putting him on the roster. And as I said before, if he is a step behind the speed level of the line that he's on, then he becomes a liability, and no amount of goodwill in the intention of signing him is going to fix that. He's going to pull them back, and the conversation will change from, "Hey, Giovinco's back," to, "Ugh, Giovinco's back," and you don't want that. You're fighting right now for fans, and we see the frustration boiling over from throwing things on the pitch earlier, that match against Montreal. Like, you don't need to add that with, albeit good intentioned ideas, but flawed nevertheless.
Yeah, we even talked about this of the fans throwing about this during the Canadian, and that was from the Canadian Championship. It was really an important match.
Yeah, you don't need to, for lack of a better term, you don't need to piss off the fans anymore, right? If he's not able to be up to speed, sign him for a one-day contract, let him retire with the team that really he made famous. Like, you can't take away the impact that he had. When he came over from Juventus, it was huge. People were losing their ish, right? Like, Golden Boot awards, MLS All-Star teams. Like, he really did it all for Toronto. And you could sit there and look at Giovinco and the impact that he had, the cultural impact that he had with TFC, and equate it directly to Vince Carter. Vince Carter legitimized the Toronto Raptors at a time when they needed a star. Giovinco did the exact same thing for TFC. Brought them to the promised land, helped them achieve like the pinnacle, right? And all of a sudden, TFC is a threat. He was to that team what Vince Carter was to the Raptors, what someone like Daniel Alfredsson was to the Ottawa Senators. Young franchises that need that star in order to transcend the roster and put that team in the conversation. He's doesn't have to prove anything to anyone ever. He's done that. It would be nice to say goodbye to him properly with TFC. It would be nice for him to join the development team as far as training the talent. But let's not sully the image that we have of Giovinco when he was great with TFC.
Yeah, and it is the question, where did when Giovinco had his rise in the sports, it's just a question, where did he fall in his career?
I don't know if it's really that he fell. I think there were some frustration issues at the time. And, you know, it's not like he was necessarily the best player on the team at the time. It was very much a team effort. I mean, yes, Giovinco was able to score. Yes, Giovinco was able to, you know, find the back of the net, you know, and including Michael Bradley into that, you know, added some leadership. You take a look at his, you know, his last year, TFC, you know, finished ninth in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like the team was doing well. This was the same thing where letting him go at the time was better for the team because they had moved past that. And, you know, yes, did they do well at the 2018 Canadian Championships? Yes. You know, beating Vancouver Whitecaps in the final of that. So it's not like they were, you know, they were failing horribly, but when it came to MLS, not so much. I think that when you take a look at who was the most important player, yes, Giovinco did lead the team, but was it enough? You know, yes, you had Jonathan Osorio with 17 goals. Yes, you had Jozy Altidore with 13. Giovinco was there, but the team wasn't. And if you were able to make enough moves in order to be able to at least move forward, sometimes you got to roll the dice, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I think Giovinco playing wise would still be okay. But I think it's a lot of the team moved away from a strategy that utilized Giovinco to his best effort.
Yeah, I mean, and now you have Bernadeschi and Lorenzo Insigne. They won, like they played for Italy and they won the Euro Cup. And not that much that Giovinco played for the national team. And Toronto FC. Now I'd on Bernadeschi and Lorenzo Insigne to be the next torch online, and Toronto FC fans not seeing that much support, not that much of the performance.
Yeah, I think the problem too is that with Giovinco, and you're taking a look at this, like 2017, they win the MLS Cup. 2018, you know, in Giovinco's last year, they don't even make the playoffs. And that's where you're going to start to see, you know, maybe not the smartest decisions. Maybe it's a little bit of a gut check. Maybe it's a little bit of, you know, you're making changes in the hopes that it's going to work. I really don't think it's the fact that TFC, the Giovinco faltered. I think it's that TFC, given the situation, made choices based on the result of 1 year as opposed to really thinking it through. And you could sit there and say, well, maybe it worked because the following year, the first post-Giovinco year for TFC, they made it all the way to the MLS Cup. Yes, they lost to Seattle, but you had success. And initially you're like, you know, well, they made it this far without him, Giovinco who, right? With success comes a shorter term memory for failure. So you can take a look at the 2018 year as a blip. And 2019 said that maybe they did things okay. Obviously, you start to lose different pieces along the way, going to, you know, 2020, and of course the bubble, so, you know, tournament, if you will. And TFC was kind of still in the mix at that point, but, you know, it was a very, very, very strange time. But it's been gradually grinding to this point that we're at this year, and it's been a slow burn, and, you know, a slow drop into, for lack of a better term, playoff obscurity. And you have to think that this is rock bottom. And now you have this point where new coach coming in, you have to think that roster decisions are going to be made. Is Bernadeschi, is Insignia the answer going forward? And maybe that answer is no. You know, losing Giovinco after a failed 2018 season brought them back to the finals. Maybe making some bold choices will be what changes fortunes. But I mean, nothing's going to be done this year. And, you know, getting back to the original thing, was Giovinco or not bringing Giovinco back this year the right call? Yes, it absolutely is. There's nothing worth saving this year. Plan for next year and do it right.
And also for, and not, and failing to get the contract with Giovinco when it's expired in 28 after the CONCACAF Champions League ended in 2018, he disagreed for the contract extension, and no longer UC Giovinco. He signed in Saudi Arabia, and you don't see that. And there was also that Toronto FC didn't play that really well.
Yeah, it really is one of those things where there's a lot that, you know, agents will say one thing, teams will say another thing, and players will say a third thing. Somewhere in the middle is probably the truth. You know, the not bringing Giovinco back, that's 4 years ago now. And they have to kind of stand by that choice because you can't really change it. The fact that he's, you know, practicing with them in preseason and in talks with them, and, you know, clearly the bridge isn't burnt, but is it worth crossing?
But when you cross that line for trying to get to find an agreement with Toronto FC to get a contract, it usually turns to fail if you want a contract and you don't like the agreements with the contract, how much you're going to get paid at this point. Because right now he's 30, almost near 37 years old. And then now you have for Lorenzo Insigne and Bernadeschi already pouting that they don't want to play with Toronto FC.
And there's the thing. If you have players that don't want to be there, let them go and rebuild, right? Yes, it was hopeful that they were going to do something good for TFC. No, they didn't. Maybe it's time to move forward. And, you know, talk about 2018, and you know, you're stumbling across some of these quotes here, because Giovinco wasn't on the team or Team Italy for the 2018 World Cup qualifiers. And there, you know, the reasoning behind it, you know, as given by Gianpiero Ventura, was that yes, he scores a lot of goals at MLS, but really MLS doesn't count for much. There is this preconceived notion on the international level that MLS is, you know, like playing on easy mode for some players. And when you have, you know, players later in their career, like a David Beckham, like a Lionel Messi. You know, they're going to come in and dominate immediately because they're David Beckham and they're Lionel Messi.
For example, Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, exactly. Like players who may not be at the Premier League level or Bundesliga level or Serie A level, but they are still good enough for MLS level. That's that preconceived notion, right? But then you have the level of MLS play has heightened over the years and it's reached that level. So maybe there was that moment, you know, in 2018 where Giovinco is soured and, you know, that maybe that's why he goes, you know, over to Saudi Arabia to, you know, play in a league that matters, quote unquote. It's, you never really know. Right. But I think you're going to see a very different team on the pitch for next year. If Insigne and Bernadeschi don't want to play here, go away. That's pretty much it. Go away and make room for the players who are going to play the team game. I would rather see someone who's going to score 10 goals over the season, but yet be a positive contributor to the team and not be a liability both on the pitch and in the dressing room, than have someone who's going to score 20 goals, but they're the only one scoring the goals because they're not playing a team game. They're playing for themselves. So if Giovinco comes back, hopefully it's in a team environment. If not, let him be on the sidelines and contribute.
And that is going to be also a question of when you get Bernadeschi and Lorenzo Insigne out, and then sooner or later you figure out that Michael Bradley is no longer going to be with Toronto FC. Which players are you going to, big name players are you going to sign for Toronto FC? That's the question for when you are in the transfer market.
I don't think it's a matter of bringing in the big name players. I think it's a matter of bringing in the players that work best for the system. You know, that's part of the problem too. You know, you have to sell tickets. Yes, you have to feel like you're bringing in players that are going to sell tickets. You know, because at the end of the day, yes, it is still a business. But realistically, if you're just bringing in a player for the goals and not the team, then you're going to find yourself with a very unifocused offense that's going to be very easy to shut down. Create a team environment, and you have defenses that are looking to have to shut down everyone because everyone's on the same page. Maybe that's how Giovinco fits in. I don't know. Hard to say, but can't get worse than this year.
Hoping that the next season that Toronto FC works things out with their roster and find anyone that could help this team thrive and most likely trying to make it to the playoffs. At that point, that's full time for the Rev League card. I'm your host, Jacob, subbing out.